Today's daf in Masechet Yomah brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh is daf Ayin Zayin. And we've been talking about, right smack bang in the middle of this terrible story of what happened that actually made Daniel get thrown out of the Shamayim and tell Daniel that I came back only because of you, because I was speaking about you. So the last thing that we had learned was that Daniel Gavriel was telling over the story of the Mokom HaMikdash. So in Yechezkel had this terrible Nevi'ah in which he was brought in a vision, and he sees right there in the Beis HaMikdash, there's people, these 25 people, are standing between the Ulam and the Mizbeach with their backs facing the Heichal, and they're mooning the Heichal, absolutely absurd. They're bowing down to the sun. So the last thing that we said is that Ma Tamud Lomar Choreim HaHeichal Hashem, Melamed Shayu Porim Atzmam, so that they were actually exposing themselves, and they were matrizin, they were defecating towards the Heichal. That's what we're up to, Klapi Mata. So this is about one-fifth of the way down. So at this point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that, and this is all, of course, in a vision that Yechezkel has. So Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Michael. He says to Michael, it's over. Your people, Michael, remember, is the equivalent of a tsar for Yisrael, who's always arguing for Yisrael. And Hashem says, look, they're completely rotten. They're soured. I don't want to have anything to do with them. Omar lefanav semichol says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono shel Olam, dayo letovim shebehem. Save them, but b'schus, they have so many tzaddikim. At least make sure that they'll all be survived. Omar lo, ani soref otam v'letovim shebehem. I'm getting rid of all of them, especially the good ones, because they were the ones who didn't do anything to stop this. Miyad vayomer ala ish lavush abadim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the man that is dressed in badim, note the connection, of course, to what we've been learning. So this badim always in Daniel is referring to Gavriel, the ish abadim. So he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Gavriel, I want you to bo el beinot la galgal. I want you to go underneath the galgal, and the Merkava, go underneath the Kruvim, and Malech of the Chagach Eish, Mibenot le Kruvim, take these coals that are filled with fire, obviously in the Shamayim, this is a remez to total destruction, Vizorek alayir, and throw these coals and completely destroy Yerushalayim with basically a nuclear fire. Vayavola Einai, and this Gavriel comes here as I see him in my Nevi'ah. And what does he do? Miyad, what he does is, Vayishlach HaKruv et Yadomi Beinot LeKruvim. He has the Kruv, stretching out the Kruv's hand from between the Kruvim, to the fire that was Beinot HaKruvim. And the Kruv picks up these coals of nuclear fire and hands them over into the Chofnaim, note again the connection to our sugya, into the Chofnaim of the Levush Abadim, of Gavriel. Vayikach vayetze. So Gavriel takes these fires, these coals, and he goes out to throw them on Yerushalayim. Now this is exactly why it is that Gavriel was thrown out. Because Omer of Chana Bar Bizna, Omer of Shimon Chasida, Imolei lo nitztanenu gechalim yado shel Kruv yado shel Gavriel, if it hadn't been for that additional step that Daniel had the Kruvim hand him over the fire, rather than doing it directly, as he was told to do, he was told to put his hand between the fire. Apparently, he had told the Kruv to take it, and then the Kruv would pass it on to him. So that meant that there was a step between the direct access of the destruction of Yerushalayim from these Gechalim. All of this, of course, metaphorical. There was a step between. That step, so to speak, is a cool off, a cooling off. So not only he did it completely wrong, obviously, because he didn't want for Klal Yisrael to be destroyed, and nothing would have been left if he hadn't made that distinction. This, of course, is euphemistic, so Ne'em Shal Yisrael. Then it says, and this is continued, that this is something that Yechezkel sees, V'inei ha'ish lavush abadim, asher ha'keset bimotnav. So I see this ish, another reference to Gavriel, and he's got this keset, so fair, and he's the one that's keeping track of everything that's happening, and he comes back with a response to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he says, Asiti kasher tzivitani. I did exactly what you told me to do. So apparently he lied. He said he did. He did everything that you told me, but he didn't do everything that you told me because the mitzvah had been to directly take the gechalim to throw it onto Yerushalayim. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. At that moment, they threw Gavriel out from behind the equivalent of the parochet and the shamayim is called the pargod, that separates between the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, Kivayocho, and Machyu Shitim Putzei Denure, behind the Beit HaMikdash Shomala, they gave him Malkus. And of course, we give Malkus in the Shemayim, you use pulses, Putzei Denure, pulses of light. So they laser beamed him, but good. And they said to him, look, you know, if you would have made the decision and taken the responsibility on yourself, that you're not doing it, you're not going to do the shlichus, and you're going to give time because you know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mischaret on his gezeiros rois, so you would rely on that, and you would face up to taking the responsibility for relying on a bittul of the gezeira. Okay? And then we all would have supported you, you know? But if you did it already, I mean, right away you go ahead and do it. So if you're going to throw these things on Yerushalayim to destroy Yerushalayim, so then do your shlichus. I mean, either you're mekayim the shlichus, in which case you do it correctly, utter destruction, or you don't do it all. But it doesn't make any sense to like say, okay, you know, I'll pretend that I did it, but I didn't really do it. You tell the kruv to do it. And the worst part is that you did what you did. You don't believe that you're not supposed to come back and report on what you did? Let lecha ein meshivina la kalkala. I mean, what did you tell? Come back to give over the news, which was horrible, no matter how you look at it. If it would have been done right, it would have been horrible. If it's done wrong, it's both horrible and wrong. So that's it. They threw Daniel out, and they went ahead, and they brought in Dubiel. Dubiel is not Winnie the Pooh, but Dubiel is actually Sora de Parsoi. Because the Persians are compared to bears, as we find in the whole story, but throughout the Gemara, this is why the Persians compared to bears, and you know they're hairy like bears, Einlam Menucha. They're constantly walking back and forth like bears, and of course they hug you to death. But okay, and so they brought back Dubiel as a simon that since the Tsar of the Parsoi, the Tsar of the Persians, was brought in place of Gavriel. So that meant that the Shlita in the world would have, you're saying, I keep saying Daniel, not Gavriel? Okay, I apologize. I don't know why I'm doing it. So they brought in Dubiel instead of Gavriel, v'ukme b'charikei, and they put him for 21 days, shimesh esrim ve'echad yom. For 21 days, there was the complete shlita of the Persians. Ha'inu dichtiv v'sar malchut paras omed l'negdi esrim ve'echad yom. So there it says that the tsar that's in charge, he came instead, and this is the message that was told to Daniel. This pasuk is from Daniel that Gavriel told him that, boy, oh boy, was I in trouble, and I caused Klal Yisrael to be given over into the hands of the Persians. And then after those 21 days, Hinei Michael, Achad HaSarim HaRishonim, Bala Azreni, and this is the Michael, who is the Tsar that always stands up for Yisrael. V'ani notarti sham etzol malchei paras, because I had been there all by myself without any help. And Yovule Esrim V'chad Malchei Upravata Damashi, and during those 21 days, they gave the Tsar Dubiel 21 different malchios, that these were captured by the Persians, including the port that was at Mashig, where elsewhere the Gemara says Mashig means a kingly or royal port, and that was the place where they used to be able to bring up tons of pearls. So there was a lot of oysters there. And then I hear Dubiel asking in the Shamayim, Ketiva li Yisroel ba'karka, I need to be given over Yisroel, that they should be chayev to pay the karga, which was like the head tax, and that they should be mishubah to the Persian. So constantly, they wrote it to him, and he's holding this letter, this decree, and then he says, Ketiva li Rabbanan ba'karga, I even want the Talmidei Chachomim to be chayev to pay the Persians, and they write him this letter. And they were about to sign the letter and hand it over to Dubiel. And Gavriel, he's on the other side of the pargod because he was thrown out. And he says over the pasuk from Tehillim, which says, Shav lechem mashkimekum, me'acharei shevet, ochlei lechem ha'atzavim. So it's all for nothing. Those of you who get up early in the morning and you sit there, stay up late, worrying about your business and talking about all the nonsense that you have to do, because ken yitain li yedido shena. What does that mean? My ken yitain li yedido shena. Omer Rebbe Yitzchak. Basically, the pasuk is saying that people get up early and they have to wake up in order to do their commute and come into the middle of Manhattan and spend their nights worrying about what they're doing for their parnasa and leading a miserable life in a rat race that they think is hot stuff. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives for those who don't sleep in order to be able to learn or to allow even their husbands to learn. And he gives them a parnasa. And that's what it means. Elu nishotehem, who is Yedido, who is the one closest? These are the wives of Talmidei Chachamim. Shemidadot shena ba'olam hazeh, that they actually stay up and wait for their husbands to come back late at night from the Beis HaMedrash. Vizochot lo'olam haba. And for that, they get the greatest riches while all of these people are wasting their lives getting their businesses going in order to be able to be buried in their portions. So Memela, what Gavriel was saying is that Ribbono shel Olam, I mean, even Nishoteim shel Talmidei Chachamim, you're going to give the Talmidei Chachamim over to the Persians after this is what David HaMelech writes about them. How do they have rishus to do that? They did not listen to what Gavriel said. So Gavriel then said, Ribbono shel Olam, let me ask you something. You'll take the greatest people in all of the nations on earth, you'll put them on one side of a scale, and then you'll take Daniel ish chamudot bekafshnia, this really cute Daniel, he's so sweet, he's so wonderful, you love him so much, you put him in the other side of the scale. So that means you've got like, you know, thousands of people on one side. Is there any question that he would outweigh all of these idiots? Lo nimtza machria et kulam? I mean, these are the kind of people we're talking about. You know, maybe you're not thinking about what it would mean to give over Talmidei Chachamim to the Persians. I mean, you're going to give somebody like Daniel? Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, who's on the other side, the inside of the pargod, I hear a voice. Whose voice is that that is saying such beautiful things about my children? So the Malachi Ashar has said, Ribbono shel Olam, that's Gavriel. Amar lahem, let him come back in. Yavo. Shenemar, and that's what was said to Daniel. Ani bat, this time I mean Daniel. Ani bati bidvarecha. So Gavriel says to Daniel, it's because of you that they let me back in, because I said such nice things about you. So you can be sure that your tefillas were heard, and that everything since these 21 days that you've been ma'ane yourself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is listening to your tefillas. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, let him come in. Ailu. So they bring in Gavriel, and just as Gavriel walks in, he sees Dubiel is holding this letter that gave him over the rishus to take the karga from Talmidei Chachamim. So Gavriel was going to grab it and bala mirma mine. So some say, so bila'a. So Dubiel sees Gavriel coming. He sees, this Gavriel seems to be in good shape over here. They just let him in. So he takes it and he puts it in his mouth and swallows it. so that Gavriel can get it. So there's a machlokas. Some say that mikra v'aviktiva, mikra lo avichatma, that he had to swallow it before there was ever a signature, a stamp put on the decree. So the Maisa said the decree did not really fully take effect because it wasn't signed. And Ika di Amr, some say that it was even signed, but the thing is that when he swallowed it, he erased the seal on the decree. And that's why we find the B'malchus of the Poras, that in Persia, Ika di Oiv Karga, some of the Talmidei Chachomim in some places, they have to pay this tax. Ika di Lo Yoiv Karga, because it was not a properly issued decree min HaShemayim. At least that much Gavriel was able to avert, that he made Dubiel swallow an improperly formed decree. And then, after saying, because of you, I was allowed to come into the Beis Din Shamala. So Gavriel says, but I got bad news for you, because Ani would say, I've got to go out. But as I go out, Inei Sar Yavan Ba. You see, the Sar of Yavan, because it's coming time for Malchus Yavan. And I'm trying to stop that. Ave, Ave. He's screaming, please, no, anything but that. But Lekadash Kechbe. Nobody is paying any attention to Gavriel. So, getting back now, this was all because we were learning out what the Lashon of Lehit'anot meant by Daniel. So we learned out the Dinim of Inuyim from Daniel. Now we get back to maybe finding another Makar that the Rechitza itself is also considered to be one of the Chamisha Inuyim. So now getting back to what we were looking for, what got us into this story, was Rechitza Deikri Inui Minolon. Where do we know that it's called a Inui? Because Mihacha Dechtiv Ule Eviatara HaKohen Amar HaMelech Anatot Lech Al Sadecha. So what had happened was, if you remember, that because at the moment that Shlomo HaMelech was meant to become Melech, so there was a whole movement that followed Adoniyahu. Until, remember the story of Batsheva, that she came in with Natsan Anov, and she got David to back Shlomo. So when Shlomo became king, he called Eviatar Kohen, and Eviatar had gone with Adoniyahu. So basically he had a halacha of Merid B'malchus. And so because of that, he calls in Eviatar and he says, okay, the only thing you could do right now is you just go back home, and you stay in your own little place, taking care of your fields, because the truth is, ki ish mavet ata. You are really chayev misa, because you were married by Malchusi. But I'm not going to put you to death today, because you are a kohen gadol, and nasata taron Hashem Elokim lifnei David avi. And what's important is the next key words. V'chihit anita b'chol asher hitana avi. When my father ran away from Avshalom, you went through the same pains, and he calls them Inui, Inuyim, the same things that my father had to go through. And that, we know, included the fact that he was not able to wash, because it says with David, Uchti baby David, now, I mean, this is not Nogea this, but it says back in Shmuel, in the actual story, that it says, Ki amru ha'am ra'ev ve'ayev, so basically what happened over there, they come to Machanaim, and their people from Machanaim came out, and they were merachim on David, and they said, oh my God, they've gone through these things. What were these things? Well, ra'ev always means from not eating food. So that's milechem. Tzameh means they didn't have anything to drink. Ayef, what does ayef mean? So ayef must mean, in the context, lav mirchitza, it must mean that they didn't have water to wash. So which means that they brought them food, and they brought them drink, and they brought them water to enable them to wash, because they had been walking this whole time, and were absolutely miserable. Says the Gemara, I mean, maybe that's not what it means. Maybe when it says ayef, it means from having to walk barefoot this whole time, and it means mini ilata sandal. We know the ilata sandal is considered to be one of the inuyim. So that can't be the raya. How do you know that ayef just because you ran out of things that you can think of? So think of nilas asanto. Elam Rabbi Yitzchak, you know how we know that? Because it says, Kimayim Karim al Nefesh Ayefa. So you see that Ayef is called somebody who does not have water. What do you mean, does not have water? So maybe that means drinking water. No, it doesn't say bin nefesh ayefa, like cold water inside of a weary soul. It's al nefesh ayefa, which means that it's outside, it's on his body. So that means washing off with this cold water. That was the ayefut, and they didn't have that water. So memela, that must mean that one of the five psukim that talks about inuyim is a reference to the inuyim that David HaMelech went through, which is the not having water to wash. Okay, and how do we know that Ne'ilat HaSandal is called also one of the inuyim? Dichti, V'David ole b'ma'ale hazeitim. So David was going up through Har HaZeitim, ole uboche, v'rosh lo chafui, v'holech yachev. So there he was crying as he was climbing the mountain, and his head is covered. And he's going yachef. So yachef is a bareness. Normally yachef means barefoot. So yachef mimai, lav mini ilata sandal. So apparently that was one of the things that Shlomo HaMelech was referring to when he said that you were hit anita, you've been suffering with everything that my father suffered. Well, I mean, how do you know that it means yachef? Maybe it means that David, who was used to going on a chariot and with horses, so for him yachef would mean going Misusio Martika, he doesn't have any, he had to be walking. It doesn't mean he didn't have shoes. Elomer of Nachum Bar Yitzchak, okay, I'll show you where it means barefoot. Because it says over here, Leich ufi tachta sak mi'amotnecha v'na'alcha tachalotz mi'araglecha uchti v'yaskin haloch arom v'yachef. So here it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mitzava Yishayahu, and he told him, take off your shoes and walk to give people a sense of what the Golus is going to mean. And he did that. He took off his shoes and he was walking naked and bare. And what do you mean? What does bare mean in that context? Yachef mimai. I mean, the only thing he could be adding is that he was not wearing his shoes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to take off his shoes. But you really believe that Yeshayahu was riding a horse? So it means in Yilata Sanda. I don't know. I mean, maybe Yachef means that he was wearing some rags, you know, covering his feet, his shoes. They weren't such good shoes. They were all falling apart. So it doesn't mean he was literally barefoot. Dilote Ma'achi, it says over here, go out naked. I mean, do we really believe that the Navi is going around walking naked? Arom, you think Arom means mamash Arom? It means with your clothes torn and in terrible shape. So it means begadim bluyim. So then maybe Yeshayahu was told he should go out b'minalim metulayim. He went out with shoes that had a lot of holes in them, a lot of patches on them, but it doesn't mean that it has to be the mamash yachev. Elom Reb Nachum Yitzchak mihacha. We learn it from this pasuk. Min'i raglech miyachev ugronech mitzma'ah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu begs through Yirmiyahu to save yourselves. Save yourselves from these averes, so that you won't come to barefootedness when you have to go out into golus. When it says your throat, you should save from thirst. That means don't use your throat to speak dvarim betelim, so that your throat should not be kept from having what to drink. That's what happens when you use your voice for discussing nonsense. So that shows us for sure, you know, there, that's the whole point of going to Galut. It always means lacking shoes. What do you think that the people that throw them into Galut, they give them some types of options? The whole idea was to reduce them to having nothing. Now we have the last one of the Chamisha Inuyim, which is Tashmish Amita. Where do we see that not having any type of sexual contact is called inui, minola? Dichtiv, remember that when Yaakov Avinu was leaving Lavan, so Lavan made him swear at Yagar Sahaduta, im ta'aned benotai, ve'im tikach nashim al benotai. So ta'aneh, I don't want you torturing my daughters, or taking other women besides my daughters. Now, what does that mean? Imtaneh means do not afflict, do not torture my daughters by not giving them the proper attention. So it means mitashmish. So you see that not having sex is considered to be inui. The imtikach, and the second part means that you should not take tsarot, you should not take other wives to be their tsarot. I don't know, maybe it's one is the explanation of the other. Maybe when it says imtaned benotai, which would be imtikach, meaning don't take other wives, but it doesn't mean not giving them sex. So ve'ema idivi idi mitzarot, so it doesn't refer specifically to tashmish amita. No. How could it be an explanation? What would you do with the vav? The vav says clearly ve'imtikach, means that's the second thing that I'm making you swear. First of all, you better not be ma'ana them, meaning by not giving them attention. So that shows tashmish amita. And then I'm making you swear that you won't take additional women. Well, wait a minute. Maybe, I didn't say it inside. Mi'ktiv imtikach, ve'imtikach. So obviously, it's a separate thing. Okay, maybe both of them still refer to tzorot, as we suggested, but there's different types of tzorot. So, chad tzorot didei. First, I'm telling you, imtaned benotai, that means taking the other women that are already in your family. So you have their maidservants, right? And maybe you'll decide right now that, well, maybe we should make Bilhah a complete wife instead of giving her a din of one of the shvachot. No, you have to swear that you won't do that. And only Rachel Valea will be your primary wives. And the other one is not to take tzorot, means don't take wives from elsewhere. And this is very reasonable, right? Because then the imtikach and the lo ta'aneh will be much closer. I mean, it's strange. He would be talking about two completely different things. So then lo ta'aneh would mean you swear that you're not going to make the wives that you currently have the equivalent of your wives. And then furthermore, you're swearing to me that you're not going to be taking people from out in the world and make them your new wives. That's not reasonable, because if that's what it meant, don't you think that it would have been in the other order? Don't you think that Lavan would say, listen, you know, I don't want you taking other wives. I don't even want you taking the wives that you currently have and make yourself four primary wives. It always should be Rachel and Leah, and that the others have to be considered to be Shvachot. Because the order is wrong if it would be the other way. If it would have said, im tikach v'im ta'aneh, that makes sense. But over here you say, im ta'aneh v'im tikach. I mean, it doesn't make sense to first say, don't do the lesser thing, and then swear to me you also won't do the worst thing. It doesn't make sense. Amalei Rav Papa L'Abaye. I don't get it, because if actual sex itself is called inui, so how could not having sex called inui? Because we see that in with the story of Shechem and Dinah, it says vayishkav ota, that he slept with her vayaaneha. So apparently that getter of a rape is considered to be inui. It's a little bit strange that we would refer to the same thing as inui, don't you think? So if we're going to call the inuim not having sex, so how do you explain the vayaaneha? Omarlei, what do you mean? It doesn't mean that the shkav was the inui. It means that after he took her that first time, and she was already turned on, and she wanted to have more. So over there it means ina mibiota cherot. He refused to have any further doings with her, and instead he goes and he gets this whole thing with Yaakov Avinu, and she's now all ready to be with him. Tana Rabbana. When we talked about, so now we have the five inuyim. Now, when we talked about washing, is that like just going and immersing yourself totally in water, or would you not be allowed to even wash your hands? Osir lirchotz miktzat gufo kekogufo. You're not allowed to wash even part of your body, as if it would be the entire body. But imayam luchlach betit vitzoa. But if you have any filth on your skin, so then rochetz kidarko, you can wash that area. Ve'eno choshesh. I already talk to you about the tour and the various Rishonim that bring Raya from here, that it must be that the other, besides Achila Vishtia, the other Inuyim are only Midrabbanan, because otherwise, why would we say, just because you're dirty, so you're allowed to be over on a Diraisa? If it's a Dirabbanan, and the Rabbanan were the ones who said, don't wash, so we could say, the Rabbanan weren't gozer in a Mokum where you're dirty. But how would you explain it if it's Diraisa? To which the other Rishonim respond, that's not necessarily the case at all. Because if we understand that the way that the Torah refers to Inui is the taking away of that which was leta'anug, so then when you're washing off your skin from filth, that is not called ta'anug. That is simply a very down-to-earth and simple wash off, which you're not particularly sitting there and luxuriating in. You're just doing what needs to be done to take filth off of your body. And the same thing is true of all of the things that we're going to be matir, that we'll be talking about now, which also they keep bringing as a raya. It's not a raya, because if we understand that the meaning of ta'anu et nafshotechem is dafka, the opposite of oneg, and of giving yourself satisfaction, this is not something that's there for satisfaction. This is just something that is there as part of what's necessary to maintain normal living conditions. It's not luxury. So because of that, we allow it. The same thing would be true about sicha. Asur lasuch miktzat gufo kiko gufo. You're not allowed to put on oil on part of your body either. But im haya chole, somebody who's ill, osho yulo chatatim brosho, sach yedarko ve'eno choshesh. If you need to do it for actual refuah, so then, or you're in pain, so over there, they were matir. Now, because of this, some of the Rishonim point out that there's a difference here between sicha, which is mutter for purposes of relieving pain or for purposes of actual curing, and rechitza, because rechitza was mutter just for being dirty. So it would mean that we are not going to be matir sicha just for dirtiness. Now, that the thing that is discussed by the poskim in terms of this is deodorants, because deodorants can be a sicha. Many deodorants are like a sicha, not a powder. And if you're going to tell me, well, I'm certainly not luxuriating in deodorant, so it would not be included in sicha, you can say, here it's not a getter of luxuriating. When it comes to sicha, because it's so much more similar to something, which is a luxury, the Rabbanan answered it unless you actually needed it for a wound that you had or an illness that you had, fine, but not just because it's part of maintaining your lifestyle. Tana Devei Menashe, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Medicha Isha Yada Achad B'mayim, V'notetan Pat Letinok, V'ena Choshesheth. Now Rashi understands this to mean that in the morning, if she had not had a chance to wash her hands, obviously because it's Yom Kippur, so what happened? So then that means that a ruach ra'ah is sholetet al yadeha. So therefore, anything that she touches, she's not allowed to feed to a child or eat. Obviously, she doesn't eat herself today. She can't even give it to a child because it's infected, so to speak, with the ruach ra'ah, which normally is taken off by netilat yadayim in the morning. Now, Tosis points out that that doesn't make any sense, because to take off a ruach ra'ah, of course you're mechuyev to do that. That's certainly going to be as bad as being filthy with teat and soa that we said, since we're talking about mayim over here, you're allowed to do that because it's not letanug. So certainly washing your hands in the morning is not considered to be letanug. I mean, that's like worse than meluch lachot petit vitsoa. You're not even allowed to touch your eyes or your mouth or your nose. I mean, you can't touch your body. So of course that's going to be mutter on Yom Kippur. Therefore, Tosfos understands that this is not what we're talking about. What we're talking about over here is a ruach ra'ah that is even where, according to some, she was just meisich hadas for being shemer on yadayim, or something that is specifically nogea, feeding children, a child. So over there, as long as this is a child that is very young, it's a ruach ra'ah that can cause a child to choke to death if it gets into the food that the child is eating. So therefore, it was a tzivui at that time. Tosfos points out, nowadays, listen, there's a lot of things we don't do nowadays. So nowadays, Tosfos says, see, we're not makpid on doing things by two, like the Gemara that we had all through the Gemara and Pesachim. And therefore, it's because this Ruach Ra'ah, which see is called Shifta, this Ruach Ra'ah is not Motzei B'neinu, and therefore, the same way we don't care about Sukkot nowadays in our places, we don't care about Shifta in our places. So, Amru Alav HaShamay HaZaken, Shelo Ratza La'achil B'yado Achat. Shamay HaZaken was very makbid. See, he didn't want to even wash off one of his hands to give food to a tinok. And the Chachamim were very angry about that chumrah that he made on himself. And they were b'chai of him to use both hands that he has to wash. My taima, Omer Abaye, Mishum Shifta. Shifta is the name of the Ruach Ra'ah, which according to Rashi is the Ruach Ra'ah of the morning, and according to Tosfos is the Ruach Ra'ah that is shaira for the feeding of tinokot. Tana Rabban. Ha'olech lakvi upnei aviv upnei rabo. Somebody who's going just to be makabel upon him. And it's on Yom Kippur. He can go through a river and up to his neck. And it's not a problem of considered to be ta'anug. Iboilo, would this be true in the opposite direction? Can the Rav go to the Talmud? Because he's not going in order to enjoy the swim. He's going in order to be able to learn. Tashmad Yom Rav Yitzchak Bar Bachana Ana Chazite Lizeire Daz Lagabi Rav Chiya Bar Ashi Talmide. I saw Zeire pass through water, and he went in order to learn with his Talmud. Rav Ashi says, "No, you have it backwards. It was Rav Chiya Bar Ashi that went to Zeire. You got the story wrong." Rava Sharul of Neyevar Yamina, Lamevar Bamaya, even Linaturi Peri. Sorry, I'm just having a hard time talking with the tinies. So it says that actually you've been talking about going Dafka for a mitzvah, but Rava was Matir, even going not Litzorach mitzvah, but Lagar, Litzorach going to make sure that your things weren't stolen while you were in Shul on Yom Kippur. You know, the Arabs, they know everybody's in Shul, so they go and they steal everything from the homes around here. So he allowed him to go and to guard his Paris. Omele Abaya L'Rava. So Abaya said to Rava, there's a riot to you from Abraisa, actually. Tanya de Misaya Lecha. Shomrei Perot Ovrim Ad Savaram B'mai, says Beferish, that people who need to be Shomrei Perot are allowed to go over, they go through water, and it's mutter even on Yom Kippur. Again, because it's not Tanu. Rav Yosef Sholu Livnei Beit Tarbu Lamevar B'maya Lamete Lepirka. Rav Yosef allowed the people in Beit Tarbu to come to the drasha. He used to give a drasha on Yom Kippur. But he did not allow them to go back home through the water after the drasha. Omer Le Abaye. So Abaye said, if you're going to let them to get back home, they ain't going to come to no drashas in the future. So you better allow them to go back home also. Because imkena tamakshilan latid lavo. Ikiri Amri, others say that Rav Yosef allowed them to come and to go. So Abaye said to him, I'm like, Abaye, I understand why you're allowing them to come to the drasha, because it's a mitzvah, but why are you allowing them to go back home? L'mezel ma'itayma. And in this version, it was Rav Yosef who told Abaye, kidei shalo te'imach shilam, latid lavo, because I wanted to make sure that they will come in future years also to my drasha. Rav Yehuda. Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yehuda, Havikami Aguda Denahar Prat, I should say, Amar V'dechatzta. So it was Rav Yehuda and Rav Shmuel, son of Rav Yehuda, were standing at the crossing of the Prat, which was by the, it's the Chatzdat crossing it was called, because it was near the town of Chatzdat. And Havikoi Rami Bar Popa Me'achigi. So Rami Bar Popa was on the other side of the river. So he shouts to them, would I be allowed to go through the river? I have a shaila to discuss with you, so I want to talk about it. Amalei Rav Yehuda, well, I could tell you that Rav and Shmuel both said you're allowed to go through water on Yom Kippur in order to learn Torah, but you have to be careful. B'vad shelo yotzi yado mitachat chefet chaluko. you have to be very careful that if you're going across the river, make certain that you don't stick your sleeve up so far that it's like you were carrying your talit instead of wearing it, because that would be that. Forget about the question of going through the water. That would be considered to be carrying, and you're not allowed to carry on Yom Kippur either. So you can't do this, not on Yom Kippur, not on Shabbos. That's what he said to him. Ikedi Amre. Others say that Amalei Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yehuda Tanina, we learned that you are allowed to go through water on condition that you don't lift up your hand such a way that it raises the hem of whatever beged you're wearing. Maskifla Rav Yosef, are you really allowed even during the week to go up to your neck to cross a river? V'aktiv v'yomod elef ba'ama v'yavirenu b'mayim me'afsayim. So now we've gotten back to the same water that we discussed earlier that comes out of the Beis Kodesh HaKodeshim when we spoke about the Shar HaMayim, and it gradually becomes deeper and wider. So first, there is this tiny little crack in the earth filled with water that's coming right out of the Kodesh HaKadosh. It's so tiny that we'll see it. It's kibat invisible. It's like an insect's antenna. And it gradually gets larger and larger until it becomes a raging river. Now, when it says, Yechezkel was shown this all in part of his vision of the Beis HaMikdash Latid Lavo. And remember, he's being shown everything with the Malach who's carrying this laser measuring beam. And so he counts 1,000 amas, it says, over there after it gets out of the Beis HaMikdash. And now I'm in up to my ankles. So from here we learn, Mikan Shemutal Avor Arafsai. We see you're allowed to pass through up to your ankles in water. Then he measures another Elef Amma. And now I'm up to my knees. And I'm still walking through the water. Mikan Shemutar La'avor, it says Vayavireni. So you're allowed to go in water up to your knees. Vayomad Elef, he counts another 1,000 amas, and now I'm into this up to my waist. Mikan Shemutar La'avor Ad Mosayim. So you see from here, you can be in water up to your waist. But Mikan Va'elech, after that it doesn't say any specific sizes. It just says, Vayomod Elef Nachala Shelu Chalavor. Next 1,000, it became this raging stream that I couldn't cross it. That's Mashma, that you're not allowed to go beyond your waist. So here it says you're allowed to go through a river that's up to your neck. What about the Sakona? Omra Baya now. I mean, come on. The whole point over here is that the Nachal that was Yotze from the Beis Kodesh HaKodeshim was different because it was raging. Redife Maya, it just got so powerful. So you might think when it says over here, I could not cross that by walking through it. You might think you can't cross it by walking. In other words, you can't wade through it, but you can swim through it. So Yocho Yavirenu Bisichui. So it would be better to swim. Talmud Lomar, or possible to swim. Talmud Lomar Ki Go Amayim Mesachu. That it became too much power, too much swelling of the waters to be crossed even by Mei Sochu. Sochu is Shchiya. Shchiya Shiyuta. Because people call swimming Sayecha. So Mei Sochu would mean from swimming. So it means you wouldn't be allowed, or wouldn't be able to swim. Yochu Yavirenu Baburni Kitana. So you might think you could cross it in Richie's rowboat or small motorboat. Talmud Lomar, Bal Telechbo Oni Shayit. Even rowboats will not be able to cross it. Yocho Yavireni Babuni Gedola. You might think that Richie could use his big yacht with his sonar. You know, that's not going to be affected by a little stream coming out of the Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim, even though now I know it's in the garage. Talmud Lomar, Vitzi Adir Lo Yavirenu. That's why it says that even a massive warship wouldn't be able to cross it. Where do we see, what's the meaning exactly of Oni Shayit and Tzvi Adir? Look at the way Rav Yosef was metargam these psukim. Lo Tezo Be'Besfinat Sayadim. you cannot cross it in a fishing boat. Uburni Rabati and a battleship, Lo Teguzina, will not be able to cross it either. So that's why over there that was special. That was a nace, that the Gilui of the Mayim for the Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim. But here we're talking about crossing normal water. Omer of Yudah ben Pasi, got news for you. Forget about crossing it in a battleship. The Malach HaMavet wasn't able to cross that water. Af Malach HaMavet ein lo reshut la'avor betocho. K'tivach ha'bal te'let bo oni shayit. U'k'tiv ha'tam, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks the Satan, where have you been in Eov? So he says, he uses the Lashon of Mishot. That's oni shayit, Mishot ba'aretz. So you see over here, oni shayit means that even the Malach HaMavet, who is the Satan, who is the Yetzer Hara, even his favorite speedboat, he wouldn't be able to take across that water. So apparently even the Malach HaMavet can't cross it. Omre Pinchas Mishum Revuna Tzipora. As we learned before, the Ma'ayan, that is Yotzi Mibeit Kodesh HaKodashim, at the beginning, as it comes out of the Kodesh HaKodashim, it is so tiny that it looks the size of Karnei Chagavim. It's like a little antenna on a grasshopper. By the time the water reaches the entrance to the Heichal, it's much wider. It's now as wide as a chut shel shefi, which, of course, is not exactly very wide. Once it comes to the ulam, now already it's kechut shel erev, which is the wolf thread, which is thicker. Once it gets to the petach hazora, it's now the size of a Coke bottle. So now it's a kepipach katan. V'hainu ditznan, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, that the mayim mifachim, these are the mayim mifachim that are atidim leyot yotzi mitachat miftan habayit. We were talking about the pashas people, means like bubbling water. It means like water from a Coke bottle that will be coming out from the miftan habayit, from the threshold of the Beis HaMikdash. Then comes the psukim that Yechezkel saw, that mikan ve'elech haya mitgaber v'oleh, so then it was getting more and more, me'afsayim, me'birkayim, me'mosnayim, and then, ad shemagia lepetach Beit David, once it gets to the petach of Beit David, and now it's in Zion, given shemagia lepetach Beit David, it becomes a nachal shotev, and it's kosher for rechitza, meaning for tvila, of zavin and zavais and yoldais and nidais, because it says also in the pasuk in Zechariah, by yom ahu yemo kor niftach lebeit David uleyoshvei Yerushalayim lechatat v'lenita. So this will be the beautiful makor for making anyone who needs, no matter how much taira they need, even if it needs to be mayim chayim, and even though it needs to be big enough for your entire body to fit in it, this becomes that mayim, which was originally from the Beis HaMikdash. Omer of Yosef, it's mashma from here, that it's very choshev to have lots and lots of water. So apparently, remez linida, shetzricha leshev ad savara b'mayim. Apparently, she has to sit up to her neck in water. That's what it's mashma over here. But that's not true. The fact that there needs to be sufficient water does not mean that it's necessarily a heater, that the mikveh has to come up and to be the size of the neck.